this. It's Fan Sided Radio.
The Miami Heat are once again NBA champions. LeBron James captures that elusive title he so desperately coveted.
It's time for the Fan Sided NBA podcast with your hosts, Andrew Kennedy and Matt Shetler.
NBA podcast right here on Fan Sided Radio. As always, I'm Matt Shetler. I'm joined, as always, by the talented Andrew Kennedy. How you doing today, Andrew?
Doing good, Matt. How are you?
I am doing great. Happy holiday to you. Happy Thanksgiving. And all the listeners out there, make sure you have a happy and safe Thanksgiving. But, you know, Thanksgiving time, the day before, we've got some great NBA action to talk about. And it's been a fun week of NBA basketball, and, you know, a lot going on. My Knicks are still holding the best record in the game. We'll talk about them a little bit. But what I want to start with, Andrew, is your Oklahoma City Thunder today. Good week, I think, for the Thunder overall, as, you know, Kevin Durant coming off his first triple-double on Sunday. And, you know, you're getting contributions from everywhere, but you're playing an L.A. Clippers team tonight. One that I think is as hot as any team in the league. And, you know, they got, you know, an MVP-type candidate as well in Chris Paul. They've got some big wins under their belts. You know, just in the past week, wins over Miami, Chicago, San Antonio. They've beaten the Spurs twice already this year. We've talked about them a little bit, but, you know, start looking at this game, you know, especially from you being an Oklahoma City Thunder guy. You know, let's start here. Right off the bat, you know, game of the week, maybe game of the month right here, and this is just another big Western Conference tilt tonight.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be an important game for the Thunder because, like you said, the Clippers, you know, they've won some big games already this year, and the Thunder have kind of fallen short so far. They lost at San Antonio to start the year, and then they lost to Memphis last week. So this is going to be a tough test. You're right. The Clippers are playing as well as anyone, and defensively especially. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see, you know, Westbrook in that point guard matchup with Chris Paul. You know, that's kind of one of the matchups where Westbrook has struggled, and the Thunder really have a hard time winning when Westbrook struggles. And then also, I think, you know, seeing what Kevin Martin can give the Thunder tonight, because he was pretty much a no-show last week against the Grizzlies, and he's been putting up great numbers, but they're kind of coming against bad competition. So if we can, you know, see Martin come out and have a big game against a really tough opponent, I think that'll be nice. But, you know, if the Thunder, you know, don't win tonight and they don't play well, and we see some of the same problems that maybe they showed against the Grizzlies, you know, I think that it will be kind of a big deal. I mean, it's still early in the year, but I think it's an important matchup, and the Thunder know it, and, you know, they're at home again. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they come out.
I agree with you 100%. And, you know, it's not a knock to lose to good teams, but a team like the Thunder and the Clippers, you know, the Heat, the Spurs, maybe even the Knicks, now you got to go out and beat good competition. And that's actually been a little bit of a problem for the Thunder so far. And you brought up Kevin Martin. You know, he's always been the type of guy that when he's going, he gets going well. But getting him going sometimes is the hardest part. I look at this matchup, and you brought up the Westbrook-Paul dynamic. And, you know, two great front court players in Durant and Blake Griffin. You know, a couple great shot blockers, Ibaka and Jordan. You know, these teams are starting to be almost mirror images of each other. You even look, you know, Martin and Jamal Crawford, a couple great six men, you know, in the past here. So, you know, I think, you know, the Clippers have resembled the Thunder a lot more. And, you know, if you look back at this woeful franchise as early as a year and a half, 2 years ago, who would have thought this would have ever been possible for an LA Clippers team?
Yeah, and they match up really well with the Thunder in general. I mean, having two athletes like Jordan and Griffin who, you know, can protect the rim and they can go up and contest, you know, with the likes of Durant or Westbrook, And I mean, just defensively overall this year, they've really, you know, kind of taken it to another level. I think they're one of the best, if not the best team in the league defending spot up shooting. And, you know, that's kind of an area where the Thunder have, you know, maybe been producing at a level a little higher than we're going to see for the rest of the year. And especially Kevin Martin, that's why I'm really interested in that. I mean, he's shooting over 53% from downtown this season. And, you know, maybe he won't get those same looks tonight. And that was kind of the case against Memphis. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see if he can, you know, if it is a tougher defense, if he can get more scoring in other ways as well. But, you know, the Clippers, they're a really tough matchup for the Thunder. And they're able to kind of take advantage of some of the Thunder weaknesses. You know, when you have a point guard like Paul, who's kind of a veteran and savvy, that's usually the toughest matchup for Westbrook, and they have the size down low. They have a ton of depth in general, and great wing players, and a great second unit too, that's going to make it so the Thunder don't have that same advantage that they normally have when their bench comes in, because they have a pretty good bench, but the Clippers probably have the best one in the league right now, and it's going to be a tough game. They're going to have to play all 48 minutes. They can't really have any lapses like they did against Memphis a week ago.
When I checked on Monday, when I did my power rankings, the Clippers, fourth in efficiency in terms of offense and second in efficiency in terms of defense. And even a Vinny Del Negro can't screw up that mix, as his team's playing great basketball right now. You got to consider one of the top 1, 2, 3 teams in the league. But, you know, looking back at the Thunder so far, it's hard to write this team off, you know, sitting at what, like 7-3, 8-3 right now. You know, a couple tough losses with a couple bounces here go either way, and it's hard to fault a team for losing to Memphis and San Antonio right now. But, you know, looking back, how much does this team miss James Harden right now? We talked about what Martin has given this team, but, you know, when you go against those good teams, how much has James Harden missed?
Yeah, I think that's when you can notice it, and I really felt that last week against Memphis. That was one particular game where they really could have used Harden. He's always kind of played well against Memphis, while Westbrook hasn't, and, you know, that's kind of what was the thing with the Thunder and their dynamic last year was, you know, some of the matches where Westbrook struggled, Harden could come in and make up for it. But I think the difference this year is, you know, right before the season started, we expected the Thunder to kind of pick up where they left off last season, you know, getting to the NBA Finals and playing at such a high level, kind of like how the Heat have already this season. But, you know, once they made that trade, really a lot changed with their roster and their second unit. And, you know, just they're going to need more time and more games under their belt to really learn, you know, how to win with this group of guys. You know, I keep going back to it, but, you know, when Martin's, you know, not scoring off the bench, you know, last week against Memphis, and the second unit just got completely destroyed. The Thunder, they need to know how to adjust to that. And they've already made some adjustments, kind of messing up with Kevin Durant's substitution pattern. He's going to be playing more with the second unit. So they're still kind of learning how to win with this group of guys on the fly. And, you know, that's going to take a little bit of time. It's still early in the year, so it's not a huge deal that they've lost to some good teams. But, you know, this will be a game tonight where you'd like to see them win, especially at home. You don't want to see them. It would be their third home loss, which is really unlike them.
Yeah, and you get the case here, too. This is a team, there's no need to panic. There's still a ton of talent on this team. But, you know, last topic here, let's look at this point guard battle with Russell Westbrook and Chris Paul. And, you know, you've said often on this show that Chris Paul is the best closer in the game. I think he showed that against San Antonio the other night. Now you look at a guy like Russell Westbrook, who, you know, some people won't call a great point guard. They'll call him a great scorer. I'm on the belief, I think Westbrook's come a long way as a pure point guard. I don't know if I'm ready to put him in the class with your best point guard yet. In terms of, you know, great players, definitely Russell Westbrook is right up there. But, you know, Chris Paul to me is the guy that can give Westbrook a fit. You know, if Westbrook's not coming off screens, you know, doesn't get maybe his mid-range game going. You already mentioned the size of the Clippers that might do a good job keeping a guy like Westbrook out of the, you know, the paint. You know, what does Chris Paul do to Russell Westbrook in this matchup? And, you know, can Westbrook get the better of him here?
I mean, he could, but you're right. A lot would kind of have to go right for him. And I think it starts with that mid-range jump shot. You know, really, I think he can just hit that shot regardless of who's playing defense on him. And that, you know, if he's hitting it early, he can, I think even in this tough matchup, he could hold his own. But Paul, he's just so smart, and I think he kind of knows how to get either under the skin of Westbrook or just kind of figure out how to, you know, send him to tough spots on offense, and then you know, use his body. He's so shifty with the ball and in the pick and roll, reading how Westbrook defends the pick and roll and just getting into the paint and making things happen. And Paul really dominated the Thunder last year in these matchups. And, you know, he has the ball in the pick and roll probably like 95% of the time that he's on the floor. So it's really tough. And I mean, I look at this Clippers team as one that's getting extremely comfortable with what they're doing just all together as a unit. I mean, they're learning to play together better, and they look really comfortable out there. So, you know, I really wouldn't be surprised if they kind of come out on top, and starting with that point guard matchup. I mean, you know, Paul could outplay Westbrook and the Thunder could still win, but it can't be by a big margin. And, you know, we've kind of seen a different Westbrook so far this year. He's had a couple of games where he scored 30 points or more, but the assists are way up. So he's kind of transitioning into more of that. But, you know, against a team like the Clippers that's going to play great defense, I wouldn't be surprised to see Westbrook not really put up the assists and then, you know, be forced to turn into that volume score, which he doesn't have a great track record of doing successfully against the Clippers.
How would you rank right now where the Clippers are at? You know, when we talk to best teams in basketball, you know, the Heat are going to be up there. But right now, and, you know, through 10 games, where would you put this Clippers team? You know, maybe if you had to, you know, rank the top five teams in basketball, where do the Thunder and Clippers rank in your mind right now?
I'd put the Clippers right up there at one or two. I mean, you know, you have to consider the Heat too, but if you want to just go by an actual matchup, and we've seen it before, the Clippers have beaten the Heat in both the times that they've played, you know, once this season, once last year. I think that they're a team that could, you know, beat the Heat in a series, and they're really a tough matchup, and since they have a great record right now doing it in the Western Conference with some impressive wins, I don't think there's anything wrong with putting them ahead of the Heat, for instance. And, you know, they've beaten the Spurs this season, but, you know, we saw what the Spurs can do to the Clippers in a playoff series when they dominated them last year. But I think so far right now, when you have a player who's as elite as Chris Paul is, I don't think there's anything wrong with rewarding this impressive start for the Clippers and saying that they're probably the best team in the league right now. You know, we talked about the Memphis Grizzlies last week. I think they're right up there with them, both of those teams. They play each other pretty close. And, you know, I think the Thunder are a few steps behind right now, you know, probably behind the Heat. And, you know, you got to put Memphis and the Clippers ahead of them and the Spurs, too, because they beat them as well. But I think the Thunder is right there, you know, probably around number five in the league. But, you know, if you look at them, you know, getting all these new guys, they have so much kind of room for improvement, and it'll just happen over time. And I think they can cover that improvement pretty quickly. So, you know, in a couple of weeks, it might be a different story if we see the Thunder reel off some impressive wins in a row.
Okay, Andrew, it's prediction time. How do you see this one going tonight?
Yeah, it's pretty much impossible to pick against the Thunder at home, you know, despite some of their struggles so far this season. I think Durant has really played better this past week. He got he was named Player of the Week in the Western Conference, you know, by the NBA. This past week. So I think him playing at the level he is right now, and Westbrook is coming off a few nice games as well. You know, being at home against the Clippers tonight, I think, you know, I'm going to pick the Thunder. I think it'll be very close, that's for sure. And they're going to need a complete game from everyone, you know, down to the second unit, Martin, Eric Maynor, and, you know, probably Nick Collison too. And then, you know, Serge Ibaka, who's been putting up double figure scoring night after night. You know, if he goes back down to not, you know, putting up double figures, who knows, maybe that will be really tough for the Thunder to overcome as well. But, you know, I can't pick against them at home. So I think that they're going to win in a close one.
I think it's going to be close too. I'm also going with the Thunder tonight. I think they get the ball last. Kevin Durant, you know, closes it out and heads into the Holiday Inn fashion. Winning one at the buzzer for your Oklahoma City Thunder. But we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Matt Shetler and Andrew Kennedy right here on the Fansided Radio NBA podcast. We'll be right back after this.
Hi, this is John Akron, and if you haven't been listening to The John Akron Show, this is what you have been missing. We have a special guest on the show today, Sean Green, former major leaguer, one of your former teams, the Dodgers, making a huge splash when they brought in Adrian Gonzalez, Josh Beckett, and Carl Crawford. What's the vibe in Dodgerland right now?
As a fan of any sports team, as long as you know that the ownership group is committed to winning, and God knows that this ownership group has shown their commitment, and they're bringing in star players, there's a really strong excitement for what's to come.
So join me every Monday and Friday morning at 8 o'clock Central for the John Akron Show right here on fansidedradio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Fansided NBA podcast right here on Fansided Radio. Make sure you check out all the great programming Fansided Radio has to offer. If you're a fan of a sports team, you can find a great show on Fansided Radio. Make sure you get on that now. But right now, we're talking NBA with Andrew Kennedy in the house here. And Andrew, I know we've talked about him for, say, the first three shows already, but it's hard to ignore what the New York Knicks are doing. They went into San Antonio, stole one there, by really outplaying the Spurs in the fourth quarter after, falling behind 12 in that game. The next night, they went into Memphis and suffered their first loss. They rebounded nicely with wins over Indiana and the Hornets. And my question to you is, how long can this Knicks team keep this roll up?
Well, I guess until Amari Stoudemire comes back, at least. We'll see. But you're right, that they're playing great, and that was a tough two games and two nights last week with San Antonio and Memphis, and just beating San Antonio in the way they did, that was extremely impressive. Memphis is really tough for anyone to match up with right now, and I think the Knicks fall into that category. But I think they can keep it up. I see a different Carmelo Anthony and his mindset this year, and more of that leadership role that we were kind of wondering if he was going to take. And I think that he's going to continue to play at this level. We love him at the power forward position. They got all these a bunch of veterans surrounding him. They're shooting really well from three. So, that's something that I guess could go down somewhat. I think they're just under 40%.
The reason I wanted to talk about the Knicks here this week is the fact that they have the Houston Rockets coming up. And you said it right about Carmelo Anthony, leadership. I wrote a column yesterday about him being a mentor to Anthony Davis. And I almost had to check what I was writing because I used the words leader and mentor when I was talking about Carmelo Anthony. And that just does not sound right, but that's exactly what Anthony has done this year. But, looking forward, again, I got Dallas tonight, Houston on Friday, I believe. And that's a case where, they get to see Jeremy Lin for the first time. And this one's in Houston, not to guard him. But I bring that up because of the job Raymond Felton has done. And I think if you're looking for a reason why the Knicks, have the best record in the NBA, I don't think you can look any further than Raymond Felton and the way the Knicks are taking care of the basketball. So far through nine games, the Knicks have committed 10 or less turnovers in six of those. They did that five times all last season. So I think, if you're looking for one thing why this Knicks team is good, I don't discount the fact that Jason Kidd has been playing the two. And that gives the Knicks two good ball handlers, two good decision makers in the backcourt. You throw a guy like Ronnie Brewer and Melo who can also handle the ball. And, the decision making is just outstanding. 21 turnovers for the whole year for Felton. Shade over two per game. And, you look at, 19 turnovers for Felton. You look over on the other side, Jeremy Lin, that was his weakness last year, and he's cut back on that, but he still has turned it over 29 times and is closer to three per game. But I think just in general, the way the Knicks are taking care of the basketball, that allows teams not to get in transition on them. The older team, they don't got to, keep going up. And the way their legs are and the way they defend the half court, I think taking care of the ball just plays right into their strength. So anyone that thought the Knicks made a mistake bringing Raymond Felton in instead of Jeremy Lin. I think Felton has a point to prove this year, and I think he's done that. And I think, you know, the Knicks made the right move here.
Yeah, it definitely seems to be working out pretty much perfectly right now. I mean, you know, we saw Felton have a great start, you know, with the Knicks a few years ago. But, you know, to come back after really not doing anything last year and to be putting up the numbers he is, and you're right, you know, taking care of the ball. And it is valuable when you have him and, you know, Jason Kidd in the backcourt with them. I mean, Kidd is really so underrated with what he can bring to a team, just kind of, you know, getting guys in the right spot, spacing the floor right, and he's so smart. And, you know, that kind of tandem back there, you know, is really working out. And it's, you know, I guess we didn't really know exactly what to expect when they brought in all these guys. It's a lot of old guys, and now, you know, no Amari Stoudemire, and, you know, not sure what you're going to get from Raymond Felton. But if it's going to be this, then and if we would have known that, we wouldn't be as surprised with this great start so far. But it's been very impressive, you know, keeping the turnovers. I think they're just over 10 a game, which is extremely good. That's probably one of the best numbers in the league. And yeah, just a great start. And, you know, we got some tough games coming up with Dallas and Houston, just solid teams in the Western Conference. So we'll see how they do.
9.7 turnovers per game through nine games. That is just an outstanding number, especially considering, you know, I'm a Knicks fan and have watched this team throw the ball around, you know, for years now. And to see this team actually looking like a basketball team, a friend of mine even texted me last night. He's like, I just can't get over how much we look like a real team. And it really is exciting for Knicks fans. And, you know, the whole Jeremy Lin thing aside, and, you know, Felton has proved, you know, and I just don't understand how he's that good with the Knicks, you know, considering there's been two different coaches. But, you know, Raymond Felton has a home in the Big Apple. But you brought up Amari Stoudemire. And, you know, I look at this team. You got Rasheed Wallace, the first guy off the bench. Knicks fans love Sheed. It's just funny to me. And, you know, but he's doing a great job. He's playing defense. He's got a post game. You know, so Wallace is going to get minutes. And they're so deep right now that a guy like Marcus Camby, you know, I think he hurt himself, you know, by getting hurt in the preseason. He's barely getting any minutes. Now you're going to have to throw Stoudemire back in the mix. You know, here's a guy I think, you know, we've talked about a little bit last week. I don't think Stoudemire has any choice but to fit in. If they start losing when Stoudemire comes back, oh boy, I can imagine the media heat on Stat just for that. But, you know, here's a guy you talk about, you almost don't want to break up this starting five. They're the most efficient starting five in the league. You know, the combination of Chandler, Anthony at the four, Brewer at the three, Kidd and Felton have just been fantastic. And, you know, you don't want to sit your $100 million man on the bench, but it's almost a case where Stoudemire has to come off the bench, at least initially. And even look further down the road at a guy like Ivan Shumpert, and who's a great perimeter defender, maybe the best defender on the Knicks team. Here's another guy I don't think you can just hand this job back to. It was always presumed that he's going to be the starting two guard, but the way this team has played, I think he's another guy that's going to have to earn his minutes back. And then, boy, will Mike Woodson have some options, you know, to be able to throw a defensive unit of, you know, say Felton, you know, Brewer, great defender, Shumpert, you know, Wallace or Camby there, and Chandler late in games when you need to stop. So, you know, 10 games in, 9 games in, whatever it's been, you've got to say this Knicks team's for real right now.
Yeah, I think that there's a good chance that Amari will be able to come off the bench because the Knicks have done so great, you know, like you mentioned, with that starting unit. I mean, you just can't imagine breaking that up. There's no reason to. And, you know, bringing him off the bench, I mean, that could even help them. I really think that he could be a great asset coming off the bench. You know, they got the point guards, you know, even Prigioni, he's pretty good in the pick and roll. And, you know, you could maybe imagine him, he and Amari, if you got Amari, you know, playing the five and a second unit, I think that would be a good fit for him, especially with this team. And you know, the same for Shumpert too. I like that him coming off the bench as well. And, you know, the depth, I think, you know, the problems Woodson's going to have trying to figure out who to play, I think these are good problems to have, you know, as long as you keep these starters. And, you know, we talked about it, I think, a few weeks ago that, you know, there would be a good chance for Amari to, when he comes back, start coming off the bench if they keep playing so well and at this high level. Then you got have the excuse that, We don't want to, try and fix what's not broken. But, what do you think? Do you really think that there's a good chance that when Amari comes back that, he'll be okay with coming off the bench?
I think Amari Stoudemire wants to win. I don't know how okay he will be. Well, flat out, first of all, the Knicks need Amari Stoudemire to produce to contend for that. You know, if they are championship contenders, they need at least 18-8 from a guy like Amari Stoudemire. My concern is defensively, of course, he can't guard anybody. And, he spacing also. You got to play Melo at the four because, Melo does his best work around the baseline. And you can't have three guys clogging up that area, in my mind. So I think it just makes perfect sense that Stoudemire comes off the bench. And what a second unit that will be. But I think when it comes down to it, I'm sure it's not his ideal situation. It's not what he signed in New York for. But when it comes down to it, I think Amari Stoudemire wants to win. And I think he's going to have to look in the mirror and say, hey, how good this team is doing without him. I think, he's going to have to just accept the fact that he's just going to have to fit in for now. So to answer your question, I think, yeah, that's really the only choice he has.
Yeah, definitely. I can't imagine. I mean, you can kind of just think, like, if he comes back and he starts and they start losing and start kind of looking like the same team they were last year when they had these issues, I mean, it would just be horrible, like a horrible mistake. And I think that's kind of inevitable if that is going to be the case. But, maybe having guys like Jason Kidd on the roster now and, Kurt Thomas and even Rasheed Wallace, these veterans, maybe that can kind of help, get Amari in that right mindset to sacrifice a little bit of playing time and choose the role that's going to help this team win.
I think it's a great point, Andrew. And I often say that Carmelo Anthony was helped a great deal by going to the Olympics and being around these guys and seeing what it takes to win. And I also think he's been helped a great deal by having the likes of a Jason Kidd, Rasheed Wallace, Kirk Thomas, Marcus Camby, those kind of guys around him to take some of the pressure off. And now, all Anthony has done is lead by example. And he says the right things. He's done the right things on the floor. I think that whole situation will have to rub off on Amari Stoudemire as well. And looking at the two guys, I would have said before the season that Stoudemire would be more willing to adapt than Anthony was. And you've seen what Anthony's done. I think now even Anthony can rub off on Stoudemire. Stoudemire will accept whatever role that he's given, but he's still weeks away from coming back. And the Knicks have a tough stretch coming up here. So we'll see what happens. But we're going to catch another break. And when we come back, we're going to talk Lakers. We're going to talk some injuries and some foolishness. And, and then we'll get into our Players of the Week award. But you're listening to the NBA podcast right here on Fansided Radio. We'll be back after this.
So, looking for something new to do, huh? Just can't get that sports fill? Check out the Hub at FansidedRadio.com. Takes you to all your favorite teams all over the country. College, professional, and more. Check it out at FansidedRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Fansided NBA podcast right here on Fansided Radio. And Andrew, we're going to wrap up this holiday edition of the Fansided NBA podcast. And we're going to talk about some teams, striving, some teams streaking right now, and some teams that are really falling. We've already talked the likes of the New York Knicks, the Clippers, the Thunder. But is there any other team out there that really got your eye? Team that played some real good ball over the course of the last, say week since we've been on the air?
I mean, we talked about Memphis a lot last week, but, I still like what they're doing out there. They're so impressive. They look like one of the best teams in the league. And I think Minnesota, too. I mean, we got them at the five seed in the West right now. I mean, they lost their last two games, but you just think once they get Kevin Love and Ricky Rubio back, just how good of a team this can be. And then there's Philadelphia. They've won their last three games, despite Andrew Bynum obviously not being in the lineup. It's a nice little run for them. And, they're right in there in the playoff on the Eastern Conference too.
I look at a team staying out west like the Utah Jazz, back to 6-6. Al Jefferson is starting to play some good basketball. He's come on after a slow start, and that Jefferson, Derek Favors, Paul Millsap front court is something to be reckoned with. I see that team streaking. And I'll keep an eye on the Portland Trail Blazers as well. They got three nice building blocks with Damian Lillard, you know, LaMarcus Aldridge, of course, and Nicholas Batum playing some good ball at the moment. In the East, you know, it's funny to say, but I've liked what I've seen out of the Charlotte Bobcats so far. A couple nice pieces in Kemba Walker and Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. 5-4, they're beating the teams that they should beat, you know, and they just had a nice win over Milwaukee. So those teams have definitely caught my eye, and now we'll take a look at some slumping teams. And, you know, the Denver Nuggets would be on this list had they not, you know, gotten a gift at Memphis. I thought Memphis really gave that game away to them. But I look at two teams in the Southwest Division in Dallas. This team has started off 4-1. And Andrew, this team's 2-5 since. But look more in terms of the Houston Rockets as well. Even though they got the Jeremy Lin, James Harden backcourt, Omer Sheik's been playing, you know, he's been putting up a double-double almost every game. But this team has won two of their last nine games. There are problems in Houston. Any other team you seem to be, you know, seeing sliding down the wrong path here as we enter Thanksgiving?
Yeah, I agree with Houston. And, you know, I think it's a little surprising because they got off to such a great start, and it looked like Harden was just going to be amazing all the time. And, you know, they've kind of come back down to life since then. I mean, I think New Orleans, too. I mean, this is a team that they've lost their last four games, and, you know, Anthony Davis has been in and out of the lineup. But, you know, I think when he's going to be in there, I mean, we've seen him. His player efficiency rating is among the best in the league. He's putting up great numbers. And, you know, this is a potential playoff team in the Western Conference if they have him healthy and when they get Eric Gordon back. So, you know, if you're New Orleans, you don't want to fall too far behind this early, you know, when you have this kind of talent on your roster and really the potential to make a run at the playoffs this year.
I agree 100%. One more quick team that's caught my eye, and, you know, I think Harrison Barnes, he should be up there among the best rookies. And, you know, Lillard and Davis get a lot of talk. But I like what I've seen from the Golden State Warriors. And if Andrew Bogut ever gets healthy and is a key contributor to this lineup, I think this is a very good team out West.
Oh, definitely. And yeah, I agree. Harrison Barnes is going to be one of the best rookies this season. His game is just so ready for the NBA. He's really efficient with everything he does on offense in terms of, you know, the way he attacks the rim and actually has a mid-range game. Now, I always love their backcourt, you know, with Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson, great shooters. And they've gotten off to a slow start this year in terms of shooting the three. Both of them are right around 30% when, you know, we know they're capable of closer to 40%. So if they can, you know, get their shooting numbers up a little bit, you know, we see them over 500 right now. And, you know, you're right. If they can have a healthy Andrew Bogut, that could completely transform this team, make them a little better defensively. And that seems to always kind of be the issue with Golden State.
Yeah, I agree, especially with a Mark Jackson coach team who's going to want some defense there. And Steph Curry had a great game the other night in the overtime winner against Dallas to get the Warriors up above the 500 mark this late in the season. And, you know, 11 games might not seem like a lot, but for a struggling franchise like Golden State, it's nice to see them on the other side of 500. But it's that time of the show where we get ready to wrap things up with our Player of the Week awards. And Andrew, I swing to you here first. Who gets your award here this week?
Well, I'm going with the homer pick this week. I'm going to go with Kevin Durant, you know, coming off his first career triple-double. And his scoring has steadily risen as the season has gone on. He's still just about as efficient shooting as he was last year, shooting about 46% on threes, which is, you know, amazing for him. And, you know, a career high in assists. And I think this past week he was around 28 points, 10 rebounds, and 6 assists, which are some pretty huge numbers. And the Thunder are starting to look better now. So I'm going to give it to Kevin Durant.
I figured you would. Durant is at the top of my list for the week as well. But I'll go in another direction then, because Katie just had a fantastic week. And I had a couple guys on my list with the usual suspects in LeBron James, Chris Paul. And I actually limited it down to two other guys who I thought had big weeks. And their teams did big things as well. I mentioned Nicholas Batum earlier. The Blazers are on a 3-game win streak. But he's going to get edged out by Al Jefferson this week. And I thought Jefferson was huge. Utah went 2-1 during the week. But Jefferson's back on track. He averaged 15.5 points, 13.5 rebounds, and 1.5 blocks during the week. So Al Jefferson gets my award here for the Utah Jazz. And, you know, you can't, you know, knock what anybody did this week. There's been a lot of great performances. But, Andrew, I hope you have a great holiday coming up. Enjoy Thanksgiving. And you know what? We'll be back next week right here on Fansided Radio with the NBA podcast. So, for Andrew Kennedy, I'm Matt Shetler. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.